Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Ben Graceford, hitting my cues.
I'm Dylan Reeve, billionaire playboy.
And I'm Rodham Gallagher, suburban father of three.
You're a father now. I'm so happy for you.
I'm so happy. It's the best thing that's happened to me.
I'm extremely excited, actually, this episode. Not only are we recording episode 2.22 on 1.11.11, but we're also taking a bit of a change in direction with the show this week. We're turning into a bit of an outdoorsy podcast. Ben's arranged for us to talk to, I don't know, like the chief of some fishermen's association or something. Do Toi Roa count as fish?
Yeah, totally.
Is it? No, it's not Toi Roa. It's Tua Tua. Is that what it is? Anyway, Ben, you'll have to fill us in. Is it some kind of customary fishing rights thing, or what is it?
No, I believe we have on the line Paul Brislin, CEO of Tuans, lobbyist, former charlatan, PR guy. Welcome, Paul. Oh, so you're still a charlatan, are you?
Yes, practicing charlatan. It's actually Tour NZ. We represent the boxing federation of New Zealand. So it's all right. We'll come around and punch your lights out later on.
I saw him trying to record a long time ago, back when he was young and could actually box. He was trying to do an ad for one of his sponsors, I guess, and all he had to say was something like Casio G-Shock. And for one thing, he couldn't say Casio. He could only say Gaseo. Gaseo. But then he couldn't quite get the rest of it out. And it was like, okay, dude, it's two words. What's going on?
And they're paying you $50,000 a word, so cope.
Yeah, seriously. Yes.
But surely he would have been doing it in the third person, though, wouldn't he?
They could have fixed it in post.
I've seen him driving around Onehunga in his Mini with O for Awesome license plate, which I thought was quite cool. And trying to watch Big Dave get out of the little Mini was really quite something. But more power to him, I say.
More power to his arm. Maybe he could knock someone out for a change.
Well, you know, that's a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? It's meta boxing these days. You just got to keep them on the go and have the story and sell your tale to the press and set up a podcast and you're away.
Oh, yeah, as soon as you get that podcast up, you've just... I mean, that is the mark of success.
You're rolling at that point, aren't you? It's all on. The world is your mosque.
Let's try and on the spot, as a boxing promoter, how about you talk to us about technology and telecommunications?
No, hang on. I'm going to put two formal questions in here. I'm going to put some structure back in this place. Two formal questions, and then we can go to town. So, Paul, in one sentence, not counting semicolons, so you're not allowed semicolons.
I was told that this would allow language. There was some mention of language earlier on. We have no
limitations on language. You can drop the C-bomb.
Oh, good.
What is Tuans in one sentence?
Tuans, we represent the users of telecommunications here in New Zealand. We try to lobby on their behalf and get better deals from the telcos and represent them when the government decides to get stuck into this sort of sector and either invest money or not invest money or roll out new laws that make a mockery of the previous laws. We tend to get involved in repetition.
You said laws twice.
So is...
Sorry.
Laws.
Is a telecommunications with an user, H. according to you guys, is it Orcon or is it me?
The users are the you and me, the customers, the people who sit there with their phones or their internet connections. We don't represent the ISPs or the telcos or any of those guys.
Where does your funding come from?
Conversations with them, but that's as far as it goes.
Hang on, my second and final.
Hey, game caller.
Second and final question: Do you enjoy the musical stylings of Rihanna?
Not enough to want to go to the tribunal. Having borrowed some of her music, I have to say no on that one. Dylan, she's on her own.
Dylan, please don't. You'll get us in so much trouble.
Not even a good song.
That'll be $1.50 just for the intro there.
$1.50 per listener. About,
what, 6 seconds, 5 or 6 seconds worth just before you get busted.
But it'll be $1.50 per listener, Paul. That means we'll be up for at least $12.
Oh, no. I'll get Mum to ring off. Hang on. I'll just text her.
I hope she's not on Vodafone, because if you text her, you never know when she's going to get it.
So on that...
Listen.
On Rihanna and telecommunications users and this sort of stuff, I know you've been pretty vocal about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But how is that related to telecommunication users?
Well, what's going to happen? So we're talking about copyright in general, or what they like to call copyright, which isn't actually a problem with copyright itself. It's a problem with access to content. And there are two angles to take on this, two approaches to why the users care. First of all, we're spending $1.5 billion of our money, public money, on an ultra-fast broadband network, and another $250 million again of our money on a rural broadband network. And I want those to succeed. I really think that New Zealand would benefit from having access to high-speed broadband. And one of the big drivers of high-speed broadband uptake around the world is what they call the triple play, because they found many years ago that you can't really sell internet access to anybody other than the likes of, well, the 20 of us listening here. Most people say, I don't care, thanks. I just want television, I want cheap phone calls, and if I have to have the internet to get that, then that's fine, all well and good. I'll take that internet thing as well. But they won't go out and buy high-speed internet. It's very hard to sell bits and bytes. It's much easier to sell Game of Thrones or, America's Next Top Model, for the love of God, or even locally produced content such as, for example, the odd podcast or two. That you can actually package up and say, okay, well, for $10 a month, you can have all the content. So the whole debate about content is really critical to the uptake of the ultra-fast broadband network. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, we're now entering a world where the ISPs are going to have to manage and oversee and potentially get into the sort of the world of deep packet inspection and oversight of every bit of data that I send up and down the internet. And quite frankly, not only is that an abuse of my privacy, but it also it comes at a tremendous cost in monetary terms for the ISPs. And I don't know about you, but I've yet to see an ISP that acts as a charity. What they tend to do with costs is they say, right, well, somebody's going to have to pay. Let's put the prices up. And,
I think you're right. I mean, that raises a really interesting point. I think the crux of the issue for me around the whole copyright regime change and everything is, if I understand correctly, there were and there are plenty of laws in place for content creators to seek redress over copyright infringement. But they just, I think they've seen the internet as both easing the path to infringe and also easing the path to detect infringement if they get these things put in place.
That's right. Yeah, and so we had to have these shiny new draconian...
There's a problem with this call. I think Paul must still be on Vodafone dial-up.
No, he's dropped off. Boom.
Skype's trying to get him back.
Okay.
Robin, do ask your question again whenever his connection.
To ask that
up.
Question.
Because it was good. It's a bit difficult with this many voices, though. I think the overtalk means that he just actually probably won't hear everything that is said.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we can start stories while we wait for him to come back, I suppose. What was he saying? Oh, he's back! Yay!
There we are. Look, instantly cut off. The power of the internet. We were talking about copyright and they cut me off. What's that all about?
Are you using Vodafone, are you?
I am actually. No, this is on TV. I'm telling lies. And I'm ignoring your jibes.
I think Robin had a question for you. I think we're all in complete agreement on the copyright stuff. Let's get more content. Let's get Zune Pass.
Zune Pass to use with my Zune.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, that'd be very handy.
Nothing, I've never had a better music experience than Zune Pass.
How about an agnostic platform, eh? How about that?
Well, yeah.
No fear. But, content will drive uptake, and that to me is critical. I really want this UFB thing to be a success. I think it's good for the country.
And Robin?
Oh, well, my question was an earlier one. Basically, who funds Tuans? Just out of interest.
We funded entirely by the members. We've got about 250 to 350 corporate members for the most part. So they are large businesses, the banks, the insurance companies. We used to have a lot of government departments, but somebody told them that they have to cut $800 million from their expense account. So currently they're all busy trying to find excuses not to be members anymore. And we also get funding from the events that we run. So we're basically self-funding. We don't get any support from the government, no direct support from the telcos as such, other than through membership or sponsorship of the events. It's a very lean, mean operation, as I'm discovering, kind of putting the no-profit back in not-for-profit.
Yeah. But we were sort of back on the whole Rihanna issue.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, I think the interesting thing is the notices have now gone out. It'll be interesting to see who they land with. But a couple of points is it's from Universal. It's nothing to do with New Zealand content, which is what they were bitching about in Parliament for so long, like protecting our important New Zealand content.
Yeah.
So any particular insight on the notices?
That's right. There are two things there. So you're quite right. First of all, Rianne's made a big song and dance about we must protect New Zealand content from the evils of the internet. Just look at how badly Beckrunger's Drive performed because so many people were stealing it. Now, that aside, and I would hate to steal money from Beck because she seems very, very nice and she's working hard trying to put food on the table. But didn't that album go to number one anyway? There are some questions to be asked here about whether people who download music are doing so, download content, I should say, are doing so because they can't access it any other way, or whether they're just doing it because they can. And there'll always be those. Yeah. I mean, it didn't seem to slow it down terribly much, did it? But that's not what they're doing. They're tackling Rihanna and Meek Girl and whoever else is up for grabs in the first wave. I haven't caught up with all the notices yet. But it's interesting that it's the music guys who are doing it and not the TV and the movie guys. And I think music is probably about 5 years ahead of television and movie production in terms of their understanding of the internet and the issues that they face. And they're so far ahead, predominantly because of, Ben, you won't like this, but it's not Zune. It's that other thing, the fruit-related item. Yeah. Apple came along with iTunes and said, it's easy. You don't have to steal it. We'll make it easy for you to buy. And they've literally saved the music industry from themselves because those clowns were just going to sit there and say, no, we'll do exactly what television and movies are doing at the moment, which is screw you if you want our content. You can't have it. Nya, nya. We'll talk to our good friends in government and get new laws enacted, which will make sure you go to jail or lose your internet or your money should you want to watch television or watch a movie. So I think it's not just the music guys are doing it because they, you're not on good, solid moral ground when you say I'm downloading this music because it's not available any other way, because it is. There are dozens of online music retailers these days and the price is incredibly low. So I've got no sympathy for you if you're stealing music or if you're copying music and think you're being hard done by.
TV, on the other hand.
Television? Now, don't get me started. Sorry.
Robin?
Hey. Rihanna and Lady Gaga are pretty high-profile artists. There are a lot of other artists signed to Universal who presumably have been downloaded but haven't been chased after. Do you think at this stage that Universal are just trying to make an example, just sort of to throw some weight and, hey, look what we've just done?
Yeah, I think they probably are. So if you think about $25 an infringement notice, they're really going to try and tackle those people who are downloading lots and lots of stuff. And not so much downloading, but uploading, the ones who are sharing it and making it available around the world for other people to download. So on that basis, I'm thinking what they've done is found either somebody who's got so much torrenting going on their machine that they've not noticed that they've been uploading Rihanna's latest album for the last 5 weeks steadily and nonstop, or they've just decided to go after a couple of big name artists to try and score some headlines in the press.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Speaking of having so much bandwidth that you just leave things running, what is Tuanz's position? What are the prospects for bigger caps?
Well, that's happening slowly. So in the last year on my home broadband, I've gone from, 30 gig to 45 gig, and then 45 gig has become 60 gig, which is fantastic. So, you know, for about $140 a month now, I get 120 gigs of data at quite a good speed. Now, that's kind of the tip of the iceberg when you look overseas, and you've got in Australia, I can halve that price and get terabytes of data. Mm. You know, hopefully we will move that way. The dynamics of the Aussie market are slightly different. They make their money from other areas, so they can afford to subsidize the international bandwidth costs. I have high hopes that once we've got the UFB in place, so we've got you know, fiber to the home, there'll be more demand for international capacity. The Pacific Fiber guys will get off the ground, probably the Chinese consortium as well from here to Australia, and we'll start to see some serious movement in pricing and in data. What they tend to do is not lower the price, but just increase what you get for it. Yeah. So I got my first broadband connection in 1999 here at home. I got 600 megabytes of data a month, and the whole package, voice line and everything, was $90 a month. I'm still paying about that, only instead of it being 600 meg, I'm now getting, as I say, 60 gig, which is thousands of times more. But we use it and we need it, and my speed's doubled in the intervening 10 or 15 years. God, I'm getting old. But the price has stayed exactly the same.
I think that's 100 times more.
I think it's from 600 megabytes. Yeah, my maths is useless. I'd have to take both my socks off to be able to do that. I'll trust you.
Now, Robin has a question, but I just want to say one thing before we go to her.
Mm.
In the last week or two, Dylan and I and Ben a little bit are putting together an election show, and we're doing another New Zealand first.
Right.
Yet again, will we get any recognition? No, of course not. No, of course not.
No,
and speaking to ISPs, they are really actually keen and able to provide us with higher speed connections, but you've got to be in just the right place, and some of them are extraordinarily expensive. Robin.
Well, it wasn't so much a question, more an anecdote. Recently, I downloaded an album by a Universal artist, and I downloaded it because it was not available for purchase in New Zealand, not online, not in shops anywhere, and I was absolutely desperate to get it, so I downloaded it. I fell in love with it, and then I ordered it online. I bought the CD, and I actually got this German version that had extra bonus tracks. And it's just kind of like, it's hard to be enthusiastic about things when it's so hard to just buy stuff online.
It is. And it's not just digital content either, although that drives me nuts. There is absolutely no reason why a new movie or a new album or a new TV show that's coming out cannot be released all around the world all at the same time. If you think about the distribution model of the 1970s, you actually moved tapes around the place. Dylan will tell you all about this, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, until very recently, everything was tape-based and would move slowly and ponderously around the planet. And it made sense then that you would do things incrementally. First the US, then Europe, then we'll think about Australasia, and then maybe India, and you know, so on and so on. That's all gone. And the marketing's moved as well. So now we can have all the hype about the new movie building up to a crescendo, to a fever pitch, and then we get told, we'll be bringing that movie to you at a later date. Same with television, and that drives me nuts, and there's absolutely no reason for it other than somebody sitting in the middle of the model thinking, I can control the flow. And as newspapers have discovered, as newspaper classified ads have discovered, you can't. And it's all there. I use the C word. It all happens around you with the internet, and we just treat you as damage, and we route around you. You can guard the gates as much as you like, but the walls have all come down, and we're all just walking backwards and forwards saying, oh, look at that funny man over there with his ticket machine.
Robin, Dan Capper in the chat room says that if you upload it again, surely that's like giving it back. Now, Dylan, I understand that you had a question as well.
Well, I think, Paul, you'd be surprised at how much tapes still play a role and how technically infeasible it is to get something to New Zealand as quick as it might like to happen. Plus, there's a whole business model issue.
Well, there is, but that's the key, isn't it?
Television is especially problematic. Movies, I'm sure it could happen, but television.
Television, and you know, when I was at TVNZ so many moons ago, everything came in on tape, and it was all, you know, the first thing we did was copy the master tape across. It's probably still going on, But the point is that
I can tell you, actually, if you're talking about TVNZ captioning, they've recently moved to digital.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. they get it once the tape arrives and has been sucked into the server.
Has been dealt to, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's still a tape.
That's very recently, yeah.
What I was going to raise is,
you know, you can still, you can, you know, one of the big game companies discovered this a few years ago, and it's my favorite example. We're never talking about this whole copyright schmozzle. Valve make computer games, discovered that in Russia, all of their games were hideously pirated, known to the level where there was very few sales in Russia at all. They were all pirated extensively, and they were about to spend hundreds of millions of dollars launching a giant nasty campaign, much like we've had here, you know, television ads, enforcement opportunities for policemen, truncheons for all, you know, the whole lot. And somebody said, well, hang on, the reason they pirate is that we don't launch until 6 months after we've launched in the US. Why don't we just move the launch date up to the same as we do in the US and see what happens? And thankfully they did, because they rapidly discovered that piracy disappeared almost entirely, because the only reason people were pirating and stuff was because they couldn't buy it. Hi, I've got money. I'd like to give it to you. No, you have to wait 6 months. Well, no, I'll just go out and steal it. So make the content available. Let me give you money. And, you know, by crikey, I probably will.
Now, my question originally, that's an interesting observation. It makes a lot of sense. My question originally was Tuans is predominantly a business advocacy group, I guess.
Yeah, we have been, yeah.
I had a look at your individual price. I couldn't afford it, but never mind.
No.
The thing was, have you been talking to businesses? Like, the thing that gets overlooked in all of this is what a ridiculous and onerous provision it is for businesses, and how it's practically impossible for a business to check or stop.
Yeah.
And I guess it's, you know, now that notices are being issued, that's going to become a bigger issue.
Well, it is. And I was inundated with members wanting to know, okay, I run a business, I've got free Wi-Fi and reception, do I need to switch it off? Or worse, you know, all my staff have free reign of the internet. Oh, I'm going to have to switch that off for them, aren't I? And nobody was telling them. Nobody was giving them any guidance whatsoever. And I think that was an appalling decision by the government not to actually inform anybody of the ins and outs of this law. So even to date, so just this week I saw on Twitter somebody complaining about a Wellington, I think it was a cafe, that has switched off its free Wi-Fi because they don't want to get caught by this law. Yet Wellington City Council is quite happy to offer free Wi-Fi because they say they're exempt from the law. Now, their rationale for that is that they've looked at the various definitions and they don't fit any of them, therefore they're excluded, which I think is probably a bit short-sighted. But, you know, the onus is on businesses in particular to suddenly either start screening or, you know, somehow managing their employees and their customers and their business partners' use of the internet, lest they get stuck with a bill. And the problem is, it's the account holder who is responsible, not, you know, so if Ben comes around to my place and proceeds to weasel his way through season one and two of Justified, which is a fantastic TV show and you should all go out and watch.
Oh, it's so good.
It is bloody good, but of course we won't see it here in New Zealand because TVNZ played it at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon and nobody watched it online.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
That's why, you know, if he comes around and steals stuff, and I can prove it was him, it really doesn't matter because in the eyes of the law, I'm the account holder, I'm responsible. So therefore, the fine comes down on me. And if the disconnection notice gets served at any stage, it comes down on the account holder, not on the person doing the actual downloading. So,
of
you know,
course, there is the wonderful 3strikes.net.nz site you can go to if you've got a notice and you can see what to do and understand that sort of stuff done by
And that's put together entirely by Internet New Zealand, which is received no funding from government whatsoever for this. And I think that's a travesty. You know, it should have been a government initiative. But no, we'll leave it to an organization, a not-for-profit, to actually tell people how this new law will work, which is wrong. It's just not right.
Now, Ben, I think that you had a couple of questions from the chat room.
Just two quickies from the chat room, just to make sure people think they actually can have participation.
Good luck on them.
First one, this is the internet after all. First one from Leighton Duncan, our friend of the show from Christchurch.
Kia ora, Leighton.
Polar Bear Farm. What's the time frame for UFB? Like, when can I get a fibre in my basement?
That's a good question. So if you are a business, it's sooner. If you're a consumer and a taxpayer who's actually funding the damn thing, it's later. So unlike Australia, which is doing residential first, in New Zealand we're doing businesses first. Well, actually we're doing hospitals and schools and medical centres first, then probably the universities, then the businesses, and then in about 6 years' time it'll start to roll out to residential addresses. Now, of course, if you happen to live next door to a medical centre for, you know, or a university or somebody who's getting it, they're not going to deny you access to it until the 6 year mark. But they're not going to do a mass residential rollout for another 6 years. Oh. So it's going to take a little while.
Cracking. VDSL, bring on the VDSL.
Yes.
The second question quickly, the national pairing stuff. So, I mean, are we not focusing, are we not better off to focus on national pairing and transit and stuff and get some internal excellent behaviour and sharing going on rather than UFB and international?
Well, so there are those four legs to the network. So you've got the international component, then you've got the national backhaul, you've got the sort of the peering between networks, and you've got the last mile to your connection to your house. The UFB deals with that last one, the last mile to your house, but peering is absolutely just as important, and encouraging the providers to simply connect and interconnect properly without charging each other a fortune and rorting us all silly is very high on my list of priorities. Thankfully, we've got a very strong culture of peering exchanges in New Zealand. There's APE in Auckland, the Auckland Peering Exchange at the Sky Tower, and a number of others up and down the country. It's important that telcos don't try to rip us all off by ripping each other off, because as I said before, you know, at the end of the day, we end up paying for everything.
So has that been tidied up, or is it still Mr. Freeth and his mates?
It is still a bit messy. Some of the telcos claim to peer, but don't. Some claim they peer, but only with organisations of similar size. Oh, look, there aren't any, therefore we won't. Fortunately, the content holders, in this case, particularly National Radio, did a great job of saying, well, okay, if you won't peer and carry the content for free for your customers, for their benefit, you know, they're paying you for the service, you have to transit via the exchange in LA. So if you're on Telstra Clear, I think most of your Radio New Zealand traffic for the last few years has come via California, which means that it's a cost to Telstra Clear. All they need to do is agree to connect at one of the peering exchanges and just share the content locally, and life should be a lot easier for them.
Peering is a win-win all around.
It is, really, but it's one of those technical things that people get a bit uppity about, and it smells a lot like communism, you know?
But this is New Zealand.
We're
not afraid of a bit of socialism in New Zealand. We know that it's not actually eating babies.
No, you should be able to make money wherever you want and screw the consequences. Yes.
Do you think there's any particular election platforms, policies that internet fans should be concerned about? There's nothing. Yeah. Doesn't need to be any particular policies in place?
Well, most finally, thankfully, you know, the MPs are all starting to wake up to this idea that we are a high-tech economy and a high-tech society, and that New Zealand is actually quite enjoyable of this kind of stuff. You know, the numbers that came out the other day about the TIN 100. So these are the top technical
shares. Is it 5 billion, is it? 5 billion.
7 billion. So bigger than meat, bigger than selling dead cows, but not as good as milking cows, which is at 11 billion. So,
I was surprised at how close it was to milking cows, though.
Yeah. These are big numbers. And if you think about New Zealanders' opinion of the world, you know, we tend to get viewed as being a market garden with lots of sheep and lots of cows, and we're quite good at wine. Lovely place to visit, and that's
John Key once famously said, we have a great capacity to produce food.
That's right. But we also have a great capacity to produce high-tech gear. And for me, any party that says, okay, we will encourage this and actually comes up with a coherent plan to do that, they've got my vote, even if they are bonkers. Because it's you know, for so long we have suffered as at the far end of the world from everyone else. Years ago, I spoke to a farmer, a horticulturalist, a guy who grows apples, who said to ship a crate of apples to London costs him $30 a crate, even before you put the apples in. That's just to ship the empty container. He said, you know, if we could get away with that, the whole tyranny of distance thing has caused us trouble for so long. Now, all of a sudden, we've got an opportunity to sell product, and we're as close as everyone else is. We're as close to New York as New York is. So, you know, now's the opportunity to strike and to build on that. And clearly we can. You know, $7 billion a year in revenue is not to be sniffed at. Let's have more of those, and we'll have a different conversation.
Go Kiri, screw the number 8 wire, we'll go fiber wire.
Yeah, we'll fiber it up.
Oh, number 8 fiber.
And the beauty of it is you don't have to dig anything up. You don't have to say, oh, I think we'll strip mine this particular national park. It's okay, we'll put it all back later, but for the next 10 years, we're going to be digging there. We don't have to do that. We can say, let's build another office block in Auckland and have cubicles. Or wait, we've built this rural broadband network. Let's let Paul go to Clevedon and raise chickens and have ponies and puppies, and he can still stay connected to the internet.
And go to the best farmer's market in Auckland.
Exactly. And buy mushrooms off the Mushroom Man.
We may have to so it's been fantastic. We normally do a 1 hour show, Morgan. What are we running to now?
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
30 minutes. Oh.
So here's the thing. We have this strictly regimented structure we have to follow that we follow very well each time.
We're actually at 31 minutes and 24 seconds.
So if we wrap up the interview, you can hang around for as long as you like, Paul, and continue to play the games with us.
Oh,
or you can just pick up your bags and toddle off. Pop. Totally up to you.
And the end of Downton Abbey, which I have taped.
And you can do that. Yep. You can do either thing anytime you want.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Don't forget. No.
All right. The next thing we're going to do, although we normally go into the news, I think we're going to
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. Now I imagine Paul that you probably listen every week, so you know exactly what's going on.
Absolutely.
I'm going to read you a word from UrbanDictionary.com. You're not going to look it up, and you will tell me as closely as you can what the definition is from the site.
Oh. Go ahead, Corey.
I could give you a few examples of previous ones. Tokyo Surprise. Big Sandwich.
No.
Vatican Roulette.
Vatican.
This week, though, your word, Paul. Is,
yes.
And this has had over 10,000 upvotes and less than 1,000 downvotes, so it's a very popular word.
Yep.
Your word is shitload.
Shitload. Well, I imagine that means lots of or an excessive amount of... something of an item, but it's got to be quite variable because your shitloads may not be the same as my shitloads.
That's excellent, Ben.
Shitload. See, I'm puzzled as to whether it's a double. What do you call them? Double jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I just want. I mean, everyone is going to know something about it. You're not going to be tricked. It's not surprise. It's not surprise bum sex. But you need 50, to be
50-50 call on
there'd be a lot of words on Urban Dictionary for that.
You need to be very, very close to the Urban Dictionary definition to get this. Very, very close. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
Can I defer?
Sure.
Can I call a friend and let the others
you
do it
first? Call a friend.
Robin?
I've just looked it up. You'll never guess.
A shitload is what you see when you look in your toilet after you've done a poo.
Except ladies don't do that.
No, they don't. Ladies, I mean, men do poos.
Ladies just poo out flower petals, don't they?
Talcum powder.
Right. I think we're playing with specifics here. Now, I know there's a difference between a metric shitload and an imperial shitload, but I don't know what the difference is or how we might deal with it.
Can I jump back in?
Yeah.
I think it's a load of bad stuff, like just stealing from the chat room here. Using it in a sentence, I downloaded a shitload of Rihanna music.
Yeah.
So it's specifically a large amount of bad stuff.
I had a shitload of great pasta the other day.
Doesn't work.
It does.
So Paul, you've looked it up. Would you like to give everyone the correct answer?
No, well, I'm not sure if I'm looked on the right site, but my iPhone assures me, and it's not Siri, so, you know, it could be completely wrong, that it's more than an ass load, but still less than a fuck ton.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So I say, I mean, now we all gave correct answers, but not the correct answer. So there we go. So I'm going to say,
you're all wrong.
You're all wrong.
You're all wrong.
Yes, righto.
All right, what are we going to do? We're going to do some fast fives. How much time have we got? We have 25 minutes. Yeah, let's do some news. Who wants to do some news? Let's do some news.
Fast five.
Yeah. We're not going to do five each. Who's going first?
Me.
All right, Dylan, how many are you going to do?
I've only got two. Can I do them both?
All right.
Two.
Okay. Well, one is actually, it's interesting. I can't go into it completely, but there's a story in Stuff this week. It says movie and music studios in Skynet copyright talks. And the gist of it is that someone's trying to establish a third-party clearance facility for these copyright notices. And it's very unclear precisely what that might mean, because I can't imagine that it would be possible for one business to take the notices from the rights holders and provide the, you know, and issue the warnings to the users, because they couldn't have that information. So I don't know what this is, but that's sort of what's implied in the article.
Mm. There's lots of questions around billing and around privacy and all kinds of concerns around that one.
Yeah, it's all very weird. So it's unclear. It's all kind of rumors in the article, and that's what it hints at, but that doesn't seem possible. All I can think is that because every ISP requires a different... Every ISP requires a different way of submitting the information. Each ISP can define their own way of submitting the reports, that a business could be had in setting up a clearinghouse, essentially, where you, as a rights holder, send your notice and they submit it to the ISPs in the appropriate format. That seems reasonable.
Cool. Next, Dylan.
Next. One. It's me. I'm making news of myself.
Self-link Banhammer.
Self-link Banhammer. Well, I could do it without linking to myself. Labour MP, the delightful Trevor Mallard, tweeted, no, didn't tweet, he blogged on the official Labour Red Alert blog about a tweet from @NZNational. And the tweet from @NZNational was in relation to the party political broadcast that was on the other day. It said, in reply to a Labour comment about the thing being kind of rigged, it said the audience was a cross-section picked randomly, the questions were not known in advance, and John Key PM answered off the cuff, which is an obscure parody, but it is a parody nonetheless. He posted a screenshot of that, and then he posted a screenshot from Facebook, which says, look, it's our chairman, Sir Sean Topham, it's our chairman, Sean Topham, and a bunch of people saying, look, there's other people we know on this TV pretending to be the town hall meeting. The weird part about it is that NZNational is a fake Twitter account, and Trevor Mallard knew about it.
Oh, no.
Definitely knew about it. Even acknowledged on Twitter that he knew it was fake, but said that he thought that it was the truth in jest, which is ridiculous for a parody account, because it's...
Maybe after seeing National's fake town hall.
The Onion, when you read something and you go, that's outrageous, how dare they? And you don't realise it's a joke.
Awesome. Yes, but then you do realise it's a joke and you still tweet it as outrage.
Tweet it out. Well, I have been known to do that from time to time, just to wind Ben up for the most part.
Yeah, we all.
It works so well.
Everybody does.
It's a good segue, actually, into my fast two.
Awesome.
Are you doing two?
Two. Yeah.
So I'll do the first one, the segue one first. Just about, again, the self-link, about how much of a complete pussy I am on Twitter. I've given up tweeting about politics because I'm getting sick of pissing people off. So, yeah, I tweet too rapidly, too vociferously. I respond too easily.
Do you want to tell us what triggered this?
Then I feel like a total cock. Well, probably most of the Tau Hinare stuff, but I don't really want to give him much exposure because he's such a wanker.
Toe.
No.
I say it wrong, it'll piss him off.
Yeah, I don't feel any need to use his correct name, personally.
But there are other people with the same name who, you know, you don't need to insult them.
True. The same thing. Anyway.
Well, that wasn't a whole minute.
One.
This is an interesting one. I guess a juxtaposition of stories. The first one being New Zealanders are poor but happy, and Australians are the richest in the world.
Right, but so, we're immediate neighbours. Why are we not equally rich?
A couple of interesting surveys, though. I mean, the Australians one, that's, I think it was the OECD and the and some others surveyed and said that Australia's relatively, according to, you know, their average income and average disparity of income and all this sort of stuff, the richest individuals in the world.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, it goes within reason. You know, they seem to be doing pretty well. Good country. Lots of wealth, lots of growth.
And they're rich in spirit, too.
Good on them. Good on them. New Zealand is poor but happy. This is apparently 50% of New Zealanders are just barely scraping by, either report that they don't have enough money to get by or just enough.
Only 50%.
Yeah, but I mean, what is just enough? Like if you think about it, you know, I could say we've got just enough, but then I could turn off Sky and turn off my internet and
yeah, exactly. And, but I earn shitloads, and I don't feel like I've got enough money.
Exactly. So are you part of that 50% who are just scraping by? And are you poor but
happy? I am part of the 98%.
Are you poor but happy, Dylan?
Yeah. Well, no, we're well off, but you know, I never feel like I have enough money. Money's always an issue.
Yeah, because you've got three kids. Mouths.
That is a big issue. Yeah,
that is the issue. It's the pink ponies. They cost a fortune.
Condoms cost much less.
Thanks.
I've got the name of a chap who will sort you out.
No, don't say his name because he's my GP.
He's your GP, and you won't be able to shake hands with him next time.
Gerald Young. Yeah.
Gerald. And you've got a legendary. I tell you,
Dylan, you got to live tweet it.
Live tweet it. No, nothing. If I get a vasectomy, Morgan is coming with me with a recorder, and we're doing a live.
That's even better.
Interview or whatever.
It is sadly tediously over and done within about 3 minutes. So
well, it'll be a short show. A lot of people will be quite fond of that.
Yep.
Now, Robin, how many stories are you going to do?
I've got two.
Oh wow! Everyone's got two.
Two. Yay. Okay. The Christchurch Red Zone. There are now bus tours there. They're gonna let people go on a little bus tour of the Red Zone, and bookings open today. It was so popular, the phones were getting overloaded. There was one booked every 25 seconds, and there were just happened to be some grab a seat flights, so I booked that, and I'm going down in December, gonna go on the Red Zone tour. And when I did it, when I phoned up to book, the lady sort of basically said, "You have to understand that you might die on this." And they sent me this email, and this is the thing. It said, "You need to be aware that despite best efforts around safety, you could still be trapped in an earthquake, falling building, or other significant incident in the CBD red zone, and you might not survive." But I thought, it sounds really scary, awesome. But life is like that. You know, I could get hit by a bus. So, yay, I'm really looking forward to it.
Especially if you're a Wellingtonian who apparently don't know how to cross the road like a bunch of retards.
Number one. on a kind of a vague related issue about music and stuff, Pete Townsend gave this lecture where he basically said he thinks that iTunes is like a vampire. It sucks and it takes. And he wants iTunes to act more like a record label and not a record shop, and to give to the artists to support them and have A&R guys and stuff. To which I say, it's not the 1960s anymore, Gramps. The way that people make money from music has radically changed. And you don't have to use iTunes if you don't want to. Secondly, vampires are cool. I actually like to think of iTunes as being Eric from True Blood, and he's pretty hot.
Not Edward from.
I'm actually kind of warming to Twilight at the moment. I'll report back on that.
No, Ben.
Have you also been warming to daytime
just
drinking?
Just go to the source and go to Buffy. You know, let's just move on from this Twilight nonsense. This wannabe could have been. No, just go straight to Buffy.
Team Edward or Team Jacob?
The Joss Whedon universe is full of too much heartbreak, I've heard from my friends who are there.
It is. It is indeed. You say that like it's a bad thing.
Four.
We're actually pretty much on time now, so I'm going to take my sweet time.
You bastard.
Four.
HP decides to keep PC division after all. Despite advice to the contrary, Meg Whitman announced there that Hewlett-Packard will not spin off, sell off, fold, spindle, or mutilate the company's personal systems group, which is not really a surprise considering sales started to flag, and it was worth, 40% of their whole business? They were the biggest PC manufacturer. And they were going to just throw it away in favour of trying to compete with SAP, who are SAP.
Is there a comedy award for board governance, and are they trying to win it?
Do you know how much they've spent getting rid of CEOs in the last few years?
No.
$100 million US dollars.
Yeah.
if you count.
That, I read that on the internet, so it must be true.
But well, we could have a computer each.
It was on the show.
We could. We absolutely could. If I was a shareholder, I'd be furious.
Wow, absolutely. The comments on this Ars Technica article are absolutely hilarious. Double face palms and beautiful, beautiful graphs.
45 minutes. Three.
What was number three going to be? Oh, I know. Anonymous takes on Mexican drug cartel after one of their members was kidnapped in Veracruz, Mexico, by the Zetas drug cartel, who is the narco terrorists, the terrifying drug dealers and gun thugs who recently strung up bloggers by their own intestines, hanging from a bridge. Naked and abused and sliced to death. This is the same cartel. Mexican Anonymous members have issued an ultimatum to Zetas in a recently posted YouTube video. The video demands the release of a kidnapped member and threatens to publish information on cartel members and affiliates in Veracruz if the victim is not released by November 5. The Houston Chronicle's article warns that there will be bloodshed if Anonymous publishes information on the Zetas operation, either perpetrated by rival cartels or reprisal attacks by the Zetas themselves.
Two.
Anonymous, skeptical of proposed attack on Zetas drug cartel, which basically goes on to say that that story was complete rubbish, and there is no evidence that Anonymous members were kidnapped. And Anonymous people in the chat rooms and so on say they wouldn't touch the Zetas cartel with a 10-foot pole, and they're going nowhere near this because those dudes are properly scary.
Oh, that's so great. So Anonymous isn't afraid of the CIA, but they're afraid of a drug cartel.
Terrified.
I would be. They have heads everywhere.
Yeah. That's right. Not just heads, but, you know, all the rest of the bits which were meant to be attached to living people as well, but are no longer attached to living people just because they spoke out against them. They're properly scary. Absolutely properly scary.
One.
But on the bright side, Anonymous takes down Darknet child porn site on Tor Network. See, now, Anonymous will target paedophiles, not drug kingpins, right? So now there was this, they called it Operation Darknet, Anonymous called it that. And this is an anti-child pornography project that they launched. They identified through some fingerprinting thing that this Lolita City website, which was one of the largest child pornography sites, certainly that they've targeted maybe at all, had over 100 gigabytes of child abuse imagery. They identified it, figured out where its server was by some means. A company called Freedom Hosting was responsible for it, and they basically destroyed the shit out of it. Now, what was our new metrics? Like a fuck ton of attack? A shitload of attack?
They dropped an arse load
of "you're not going to be on the internet anymore, thank you very much." They took the thing down with a PHP exploit. So pedophiles, Anonymous can take care of them. Drug dealing murderers, probably still safe from everyone.
I mean
too many episodes of Breaking Bad, that's the problem.
Oh god, Breaking Bad, so good. Oh, so good.
Season 4, oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh.
Did you see the Halloween mask for season 4? I thought it was good.
Yeah. No spoilers. Yeah. No spoilers.
No.
I think we've seen it, but a lot of people
haven't. I haven't.
No. Oh, you must. After you've watched Buffy, yes. Breaking Bad, season 1, 2, and 3. Oh. We can have a conversation. Yeah.
Okay, we've actually got over 11 minutes remaining. And look, we finished our news.
That was rapid.
But guess what we can do? We can just go and say...
What's your auntie been talking about?
We could also give Paul another option to leave the madhouse at this point.
All right, I will, because I have to get up very early in the morning because it's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Which
you.
Also for yesterday, if you're not listening to this live.
No, that's right.
Or even later than yesterday if it's taken you a while to get to it.
We speak to you from the future. Yes.
So if you're mates with Paul and you're just hearing this now on the podcast, you missed his birthday, you better send him something quickly and just pretend that it got delayed by the courier.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's been a great pleasure having you on.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Thank you.
It's clearly the maddest show on the internet.
The whole internet.
I would say.
We're well into the top 10.
Thank you.
At least.
We really do try hard.
See you later.
Ciao.
Wow, he's really good.
He's good.
Nice chap.
We need to trick him into coming back on more often.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we've tried to get him on that once, like 7 times in a row or something. So the chance of getting him on, you know, with any kind of frequency, very slim. But yes, I would be very excited to have him on again.
Props to Kiwana in the chat room who came through with the mobile phone number that that was right there front and center on the website that I couldn't find.
Already pushed the button, but I'm going to push it again.
What's your auntie been talking about?
I'm going to do one very quickly, and then we can get on to everyone else's. Beavis and Butthead.
What?
Really?
A new season. A new season started.
Oh, really?
I couldn't quite believe it either. They rip into Jersey Shore and various, you know, newer music videos and some other show that I don't recall. And it was quite funny. The animation is exactly the same. Some of it is extraordinarily crappy animation. It looks like it is possibly captured on a VHS back when it was first run, and they've captured it again and they've played it out again, and it looks incredibly blurry and soft, and it's all, you know, crappy drawing, but it's amusing, and it actually seems to still be quite funny. It works quite well.
I started watching it. I was really excited, but I didn't get it. I didn't like it.
I didn't think it was funny. Oh, okay.
But maybe I will. Maybe having heard you say that, because I only watched like the first segment of it, I might actually go back and rewatch it.
Yeah. Well,
surely there must be so much better animation out there than Beavis and fucking Butthead. Sorry.
It's not really. You're not really watching it for the animation.
It's not about the animation. No, it's about their cultural criticism.
It's right. Like fire. Complaining that
fire.
I don't know. It's better something than something.
So anyone else got anything else that their auntie's been talking about?
My auntie's been spending way too much time playing Battlefield 3, and she just doesn't get any time at all to record stuff. She doesn't pay any attention. She's leveling up hardcore. And she's out there playing Caspian Border. And
is it an RPG, leveling up?
It's a modern FPS, which require, you know, all modern first-person shooters require you to level up and buy guns.
So you're like a first sergeant now.
I'm level 7 or something. What I am is about a quarter of the level of any kids in the game. For fuck's sake.
Do they boom headshot you every time you spawn?
Yeah, pretty much. But so I play on the big maps and I hide in the trees and the grass and sneaky. It's a great game.
You're one of those sniping whores, aren't you?
No, actually, I swap between sniping and support. But it's the game that you look at and you imagine being when you were playing Counter Strike back when you were 20 years old. How long ago was Counter-Strike? Jeez, I don't know. But it's amazing, absolutely amazing. Tanks, planes, helicopters, tons of guns.
There was none of that shit in Counter-Strike, bro.
Tons of guns for tons of fun. Eh, Ben?
Yep, Battlefield 3. Recommend it.
I just finished playing, if we're going to talk about games, I just finished playing Portal 2 with my girlfriend. That was good fun. Fun co-op.
Ah, it's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. Good with a kid, good with a friend, a close friend, who you're not going to shout at, ideally. Because, you know, it's a puzzle game and sometimes there's timing is important and so on, blah, blah, blah. Also, I've just started playing Dead Island, which is a zombie survival game. I'd been playing it for about 90 minutes or an hour and a half when suddenly, I guess I must have leveled up to the point where I could have more people in my party, and so like a bot spawned, and then I realized that it wasn't a bot, it was another player. And for the last hour, I'd been playing a co-op multiplayer game on the internet without even being aware of it.
Wow.
And someone had joined my game, and then they proceeded to do... Well, they didn't talk to me at any point. They just kind of looked at some corpses and then sort of walked off down the beach. And I was like, what the shit is going on?
You thought it was an incredible AI or something? Or...
Oh, no, it very quickly became clear what was going on.
Right. The chat room's asking us if Auntie's been talking about Boss.
Yeah, we spoke about Boss last week or the week before. Right, Boss is fine. Extraordinarily good. It's a new TV series from Kelsey Grammer. And he plays the mayor of, I think, is it Chicago or Philadelphia? My auntie sent me episode 1. My auntie assures me that she's taped episode 2 for me. I haven't seen it, though.
It's comedy? Comedy? Or
no, Kelsey? No. Definitely not comedy. Very... very serious drama. Very.
Okay, let's have a look. Yeah. My auntie sent me the first episode of Eastbound and Down, which I kind of thought was pretty amusing.
Yeah, I quite like Eastbound and Down. A lot of people don't know what's the actor's name.
I don't know what his name is.
I can't remember his name. I don't like his face very much, but it's a pretty good series.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll take a bit of getting into, but I can see the prospect. Yeah. I can see it there.
In season 2, oh, I don't want to give you any spoilers. Oh, fuck, it's an old show. Maybe I can give you spoilers. In season 2,
No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
Does he get a new contract or something?
No. or yes, depending on which would be a spoiler.
All right. Okay.
He comes back looking slightly older than he did in the first season.
Oh, my gosh.
Excuse me.
Wow, he laughed so hard he died.
I would talk about the fades, but I think I'll talk about that next week. What else have we got? All right, 5 minutes remaining. Have we got any corrections? I don't think we ever get anything wrong. So let's
open up the toot bag.
We're probably going to go back to what Joanne has been talking about, to be honest. But
let's open up the toot bag.
Raj, at NZ Raj on Twitter, love the ice cream sandwich freestyle on the overflow. Nice baseline. Well, Raj, your spelling is atrocious.
Baseline, sorry.
Two S's, my friend. And sandwich, there are no T's in sandwich. Aside from that, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're such a cock.
I didn't expect anyone to like it because people have been so rude about the kind of the slightly more musical direction of the overflow in the last few weeks. I am enjoying just messing around with my friends.
I've heard a couple of positive comments about the original corned beef overflow.
Corned beef! Yeah.
Let's not revisit it, though.
Okay, fine. All right.
Fine. There you go.
Fine. I appreciate it, Raj. Watch the spelling. Now, Sam, at Sakura_59, dear beloved friend of the show, the discussion in the overflow at the direction of the show next season sounds really promising. Plus, Talios is a scary rocker. That Talios is Mark, who was on the last couple of weeks. Not sure why he's not here right now. That was really passive-aggressive and snarky of you. Actually, Sam?
what's the direction of the show?
We said that we would move back to having more interviews.
That's a good idea.
We would have had probably three or four more. It's just, you know, things just didn't quite, they just didn't line up. And that's just the way it goes.
We kept trying to get Paul Brislin.
Yeah, so several episodes in a row, we thought that Paul was going to be on because
it's my fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Because we left it down to Ben. And then we had a couple of other people. And just, you know, it just didn't happen to work out. So, you know, we'll just try a little bit harder next season to get the guests back on. I really enjoy having the guests on. It means that I can shut the fuck up and just sit back and let other people fill all this airtime that we've allocated to ourselves.
Now, Mark is a scary rocket, but he's even scarier when you see a photo of him on Facebook recently where he's got this big, full, like, huge...
IT beard.
Yeah, IT beard. Yep. And he's shaved the moustache off, so he looks like an Amish man or a Mennonite. It's freaky. It's terrifying.
An Amish Mettler.
He's an Amish Mettler. Oh my God, that's it.
Mishmuller.
Well, actually, in fact, because aren't they? They're originally like German or Dutch or something, right?
Dutch. I think. Oh, actually,
and Germans love the death metal.
German. Exactly. German death metal. It's where it all comes from.
Hey, Robin, the Universal album that you can't buy in New Zealand that had a lot of extra tracks on the German version that you ended up getting sent to you wasn't by David Hasselhoff, was it?
No.
Okay, just checking, because I know you have quite a fondness for the Hasselhoff.
It was by Jedward.
Don't Hasselhoff. Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
I loved your post about Jedward. It's brilliant.
Your album is just really good pop. And
you like young boys. If you were gay, you'd be, I don't even know what they call them, but you would like twinks.
Twinks, yeah, that's exactly it.
She's totally into twinks.
Are you a cougar and are they kittens?
Hey, by the way, I've just found the most amazing thing, amazing extra awesome thing about Orcon Genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Base station has a USB port on the back of it that says handset charger only, because if you connect the base station to the handset base, then they kind of join up and power.
1 minute.
Yep. I have plugged my cell phone charger into that, and I'm charging my cell phone from my Orcon Genius base station. Wow.
I'm trying to stay silent.
Everyone is so impressed that we're speechless by your boring story.
Was that less amazing than I thought it was?
Yes. It's a USB port.
Yes, but...
All USB ports give out 5 volts, Dylan.
You nerd.
World.
Oh, we've got to do a thing. Dylan, are you ready?
Yes.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
That'd be wonderful.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address and kind of blah, blah, blah?
Four.
Yep, definitely.
Do you just want your own blah, blah, blah?
Three.
Totally.
Discourse code /VPN and sign
Two.
Up. It's surprisingly not expensive.
One.
Thank you so much for listening. I love you. Rate and review
you're
on iTunes.
You're listening to the weekly
Thank
show
you.
On this. Sorry. Oh, of course.
All right. Yeah, using that one.
Tune in right now for the Extra Large Extended Edition, available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to the weekly show.